Do you think that Queen Gedrin is regretting some of the architectural choices she's made?
She's queen regretting.
Yeah, like
Drin.
Great. Correct.
like
Drin.
she's like why build your castle on top of a mountain and make it so rigid and
Not a mountain,
so
a volcano.
like,
This
oh yeah, that's right, because at the end of this,
is basically a volcano.
yeah, the floor splits open and there's lava. It's like everybody
Yeah, but
knows that the best villains build their bases inside of volcanoes, and she's
everyone
like,
knows
no,
this.
I want it to be on top of the volcano.
The volcano topper.
Well, what are you gonna do with all that lava? You know, you just gotta well, you gotta build portholes, I suppose. I
Yep, but
suppose,
that's all the that's this disparate to get rid of all the heat. All the heat has to leave that way.
Oh my gosh. They don't need fireplaces because they could just use the okay. Queen Gedrin is not making effective use of the geothermal energy of her castle, and I think that's the biggest shame of
She's
this
not
movie.
green at
She's
all.
not focused on, you know, renewable energies. She's focused on fringe world-destroying talismans instead of realizing she can just build a bunch of boilers and have power for her entire evil kingdom
She doesn't
place.
understand her carbon footprint. She is not Queen Al Gordron. She is Queen Alice Gedrin. And she is, Gedrin is her last name. That's what I have decided for this final cut of Red Sonja. Roll the credits.
Is her first name Queen?
What a lost opportunity for Sonya to enter the throne room and for Queen Gedrin to be like, here we are.
Here we are, and then look at the camera. Here we are. There's a lot of missed opportunities. Let's go with this first one, which is just, hey, your
Not
handmaid's
introducing
back.
ourselves.
Her handmaid's back. Great. Where was she 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
She's back. Tarn is running through the hallways. Tarn is now inside.
Yeah, not only are
Yeah.
these characters back, we are back. We are the Sword Boys. Welcome to Cut Six of Red
Oh yeah, we
Sonja.
forgot to say that.
I am Rick.
I'm Robin.
I'm Jonathan, manically, frantically running through the halls.
This cut
Sir.
begins at 1 hour, 12 minutes, 25 seconds. It goes all the way to the end of the movie at 1 hour, 28 minutes, 51 seconds, beginning with Queen Gedrin's handmaiden pulling a
Queen's
fast one.
Gedrin's handmaidens.
She's pulling a fast one on Prince Tarn, which is not difficult.
Yeah, the
And it
old.
ends with Sonya and Kalador making out with their swords out.
Yep. Make out with your swords out, baby.
Yeah, Tarn pulls a little bit of a Breakfast Club here, coming around that corner, slipping, falling, getting up, and running more. One thing that really came across to me in this cut, especially, is that Tarn is the star of his own movie. Like, he's acting like he's the protagonist and has to get smacked down at all
I think they
times.
were
Like,
hoping
no,
that there
you're
was
not the
like,
protagonist.
they're like, you know, this movie works out. We can have a little spin-off movie
Yeah.
of Prince Tarn and his lovely manservant Falcon. I would actually watch that movie.
If not, we can get Gil Gerard.
Yeah.
Why not?
So yeah, the handmaid's back. She pulls a fast one. Now Prince Gedrin, Queen Gedrin, sorry, has what's her face, Prince Tarn. Oh, these names are starting to get, it's a lot of names going on.
I want to point out this is the only opportunity that the handmaiden has to speak throughout the entirety of this movie. I think she nails it. First time she gets to say like a handful of, she's gone. I'm
Hey, I'm
so
so
glad you've
glad you're
come. Please
here.
help me. Please protect me. I'm so frightened. And that's it. That's all she's got to say.
I wonder how many times she practiced that.
And she's dressed like the princess from Flash Gordon.
Flash
Oh,
Gordon, yeah.
absolutely.
I've forgotten her name. Aurelia? Aurelia?
That sounds right.
There's a Venn
Areola.
diagram
Don't
of
yell at
like the
me, sword
costumes
boys.
for Flash Gordon and the costumes for Red Sonja.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is all the same sets.
Yeah. And then there's then Red Sonja is running through the hallways, and then she looks basically almost at the camera, and she's like, "Gedrin, where are you?" And her accent is extremely there.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite line reading of this movie, because mm-hmm. Brigitte Nielsen is trying to act so hard.
Yeah.
Like, listen, all of those stops, she's going to pull them out for this one line straight into camera, over enunciate everything to make sure the diction is perfect.
She shows up in the room, and right as she shows up, a huge tremor shakes the entire room. Well, but no one told the handmaiden, so everybody moves but her. Yep. If you watch, the set moves, the camera's moving and the chair moves, but she literally stands perfectly still.
Yeah, that's she's right.
She's everything shaking influence. Behind her. Man. Okay, does even it feel Red Sonja weird to kinda... anybody else? Does it feel weird to anybody else that Queen Gedrin is doing her own hold a knife to someone's throat? That feels like underling work.
No. Queen Gedrin is the kind of queen that, you know, she showed up at the battle. She showed up to get the talisman. She's a hands-on despot.
Listen, there's a difference between a boss and a leader.
Yeah.
And Gedrin is a leader.
She is a leader. And thank God there was a sword just sitting by the wall.
Well, Connor left that there. He was on his way in. He left it by the door.
It's like, I had this sword in my trench coat, but I didn't want to use it for the fight.
But so in case you're wondering, that tells you that the Hyberian age is between 1550 and 1985. In case you're wondering. So it seems like it's really long ago. This is just Italy in the 1500s. Right. No one knew. No one knew what Italy was like in the 1500s. It's like, man, it's a bunch of gold and face castles and butthole doors. It's a whole thing. Wait until you go to Italy. It's wild.
Yeah.
They really watch out for the giant spiders. Films,
so
okay, the handmaid. Mm-hmm. I was watching her throughout this scene, and she delivers her line. She stands there, not sure what to do. And then she just kind of like runs off, like kind of like not even runs off stage, just kind of like quickly walks off stage past all of the actors where the action is happening. It's like, maybe she wasn't given direction on what to do and is just like, well, I've delivered my lines. Perhaps I should leave.
Probably. I guess the scene is over. No, she's walking into the scene. Oh, well.
Like, no, don't walk right into, she's right in the middle of the shot. Okay.
Keep it.
We're just going to keep it.
Do we think now that we've seen this cut, do we think she dies in the end of this movie?
Oh no, she just waltzes right out of that.
Okay.
Place.
She leaves.
She's fine.
What I really wanted was for her to accidentally get crushed in another butthole door.
Like, she opens the butthole door and goes to walk out, but like a rock starts the door closing and she trips on Eichel's squished body and she's like, oh no!
Oh no!
Oh, I hate when I slip an Eichel.
Spilled Eichel. Hey, don't cry over spilled Eichel. And this is kind of our face-off, the first time they've been together, face-off. Since they've been together since the beginning of the movie and that weird flashback that we got.
Want to take her face covering off. Oh. My gosh.
And Red Sonja yells at her for killing her family. And she's like, is your family, they're insects. They're nothing. They're vermin. They're not worth this. And she pulls off her mask and we finally see the cut. And just to remind you who she slayed in the credits, Red Sonja's father, Red Sonja's mother, and Barlock, Red Sonja's brother, who gets a name. I don't know why. Oh. We talked about this earlier. He has a name in the credits. He is named Barlock. Everyone else has a Dar's father's sword kind of name.
Young Dar's. It's funny because Gedrin like uses this whole scar thing as like, oh, you think you got it bad? Look at this huge scar. So, I mean, honestly, I'd love to poll the listeners. Like, which would you rather have, a horrific facial scar or like your parents, your brother, and your sister dead?
Your unnamed mother, your unnamed father, and your named brother.
Brother, and then I forget what was the sister's name? She was the coolest. She should have been the star.
I feel like anyway. In order to make it
there's a sister
appropriate.
Oh yeah, comparison. That's right. Gedrin's handmaiden.
It's not your parents and not your brother that are dead. It's you have a face scar or you have somebody else's family murdered. Like, that's the trolley problem that we've got here.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, because sorry. The sister's Sonya name is Varna.
Varna. Red Varna. When's that movie?
No, she's dead. She went to
Tarn and Varna. On the road and again.
If you were excited to see the scar, say goodbye to it because it's not in the rest of the movie. Watch the rest of the scenes. She doesn't have the scar anymore for the rest of the fights. Would it not stay on? Yeah. What the fuck was going on? Why is the scar not there? It's
she's
not there.
Gorgeous. Though. When she gets like thrown to the ground, you see her face. She's got a gorgeous face. Scar's gone.
Scar's gone.
Yeah, you're right.
Who knew that all these lava rocks were really good for your skin? It opens your pores and it has a healingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened in this movie. Her scar is gone. The whole point of her wearing that stupid mask was to have that scar. We see it one time.
Yep. And they try and hide it by having that the hair that she does where it comes down on either side of her face. But yeah, as she's running around, they might have had it like painted on, because as she's sprinting across the throne room towards the porn TV.
Yeah.
Like, you can see as her hair is swishing back that there is something on her face, but it
like a
seriously
line
looks
of
like paint.
I mean, I'm looking at a scene right here where they're right after she attacks her across the room and they get locked up. There's literally nothing on her face.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
It's not great.
Not great. And we're about to get into a sword fight, which I'm super happy for. Can't wait for a breakdown. But I would like to ask, at any point in this movie, did we say Queen Gedrin was a sword person? Like, we've not kind of gotten her bona fides with a sword. And then she picks up a sword like, I'm going to fight Red Sonja. And you're like, well, maybe you shouldn't, because Red Sonja has the power of some flimsy, weird god lady who we never see again. She does not show up at the end of this movie.
Yeah, for being a sort of mystic patron of the hero, it's really just, here you go. I'm going to step back now.
It's true. I totally forgot about her.
She just hands her the thing and then leaves.
Here you go. Power. I'm out.
I give you the power of a man. You're as strong as a man. Now me.
Well, I mean, it set up the whole power structure and how she got power. How could a lady be that good with a sword? Obviously, it's magic.
I'm going to give you the power of Mary Jane.
Yeah.
And then there's this conflict about whether, you know, Kalidor would take her power away. Wouldn't it have been interesting if she did finally give in to Kalidor and then she goes into the kingdom thinking, oh, that legend isn't true. Like, I still have my abilities or whatever. And then she's like fighting Gedrin and getting almost beaten. And then we have like almost like a Dumbo thing, like the fairy shows up. She's like, I was just a feather. You know, you actually had it in you the entire time. And then, I mean, I'm just making a completely awesome movie, aren't I?
I don't know, the whole like
cliche movie.
Sonya is gonna be heading towards Gedrin, and then like five jive talking crows show up and be like, I ain't never seen a woman with a sword.
Not only jive talking, but they're Italian jive talking, and I don't even know what that would sound like. But so yeah, Queen Gedrin is going to face off.
That's right.
Again,
the cleverly located door side sword that she uses. I don't know if that's going into the sword pantheon that we're creating.
Oh yeah, write door that sword down. What rule is this? Always keep a sword by the door.
Sword by the door. Door sword. Anyway, whatever it is time for this episode's first sword fight breakdown.
It's a sword fight breakdown.
I've labeled this Red Sonja versus Queen Gedrin Part 1 because they get interrupted halfway through. So Queen Gedrin opens with a series of attacks that Sonja parries before going on the attack herself and pushing Gedrin back towards the steps leading up to the throne. Gedrin tosses an obstacle at Sonya's way, but she leaps over it, and the two bind together for a moment before Sonja pushes Gedrin back up the stairs. Gedrin retreats onto the dais, followed closely by Sonja, who has to jump over another obstacle. Sonja attacks push Gedrin across the dais, past the throne, until Gedrin turns to flee down the stairs towards her magic mirror. Sonya attacks Gedrin, but the wizard teleports Gedrin to a high point in the room. Sonya runs Tommy after Chong. Her, but just as she is about to stab Gedrin, the wizard sends Gedrin across the room again. It's the classic dilemma of someone who put all of their points into Barbarian and they don't have any sort of Misty Step ability, so they can't keep up with the final boss. It's very frustrating.
I called him Wizzo, I think, from the Bozo show when we originally met him. Now I want to call him like DJ Wizzo because he's at like his turntables over there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, throwing down sick beats while the fight goes on. If I was Red Sonya, the first thing I would have done was throw my sword into that man because it's just like, you Jesus just Christ, he's driving me nuts.
You just know.
But instead,
so Sonya does a front somersault off of the high point where Gedrin was retreating.
That's pretty impressive.
And it is a sizable drop.
She definitely broke her legs.
This is where the stunt person comes in, right?
Mm-hmm. If her legs are damaged, it's a good thing that the wizard's gimp comes up behind her and grabs her to hold her up on her broken legs.
I felt like that was an unmasked sex warrior from Beastmaster.
Listen, he just failed to capture Dar and Kiri as they're crawling out the butthole, so now he needs to redeem himself by grabbing Sonya.
Yeah, this
it
movie,
does not work out.
Yeah, this movie has no time to like be like, here's how many people are in the room. We're gonna set up the scene. These people just show up. The sex warrior, her handmaiden, Wizzo, DJ Wizzo. They're all they're just there. They weren't there when they got there. Only the handmaiden was there. Now she's gone, and then that dude is not there. He wasn't in the scene before. He's not Chekhov's sex warrior.
Listen, if you show a sex warrior on the mantle in Act One,
he's not even ever in the movie. I've never seen this guy before. Like, he wasn't like in the room.
That was pushing the magic mirror around.
So he's the right. Sex mirror.
Yeah, he's the guy that pushes the porn viewing screen into position so everybody can watch the topless lady belly dance.
Okay. But again, this set
is or Jefferson Starship. Big.
It is so big. And I love in this world that when you die and your skeleton is all dried out, it all sticks together.
Yep.
And you can just as one, like they know skeletons don't work like that, right? Like the meat is what keeps us together. Is that a song? The meat is what keeps us together.
Meat will keep us together.
Ah.
Gosh. Yeah, room is so large that after Sonya flips the gimp over her shoulder and stabs him, obviously he's a bloodless gimp because as the sword comes up, it's not covered in blood.
Sure.
But Sonya rushes to attack Gedrin, and Gedrin has enough space that she's teleported up to the throne, and Sonya still has a long way to get to her. But it's at this point that Sonya realizes that the wizard is, you know, messing with this fight, so she goes and just
because he starts doing voodoo on her with he like starts cutting her with his creepy cocaine nails, so he's like cutting her with a knife that's in a bowl that's like getting to her, and Queen Gedrin's just so pleased with herself with no facial scar at all, and Sonya just like stops the fight to go over there.
This guy he got her is attention. He's wearing half of a cone of shame, probably to keep from licking a wound or something like that. But Sonya is such a good swordsman or swordswoman, whatever if we want to be gendered about it, she is able to cleanly decapitate his head, launching it off of his shoulders into a midair spin. I don't know. Maybe she like as she's swinging, she stabs into the collar across and then pulls her sword out because we don't see the collar. It's just head.
Yeah.
Well, the collar goes down. As everyone knows, a head without a body is lighter than air. So it goes up.
And then she gets the prize, right?
This is when she finally receives the prize.
Good for her. Heads up.
And Queen Gedrin uses this distraction to flee the room like any, you know, final boss of a movie. Halfway through the fight, they run away.
She runs away and goes in, and as she's going into another room for the rest of that sword fight, our prince Tarn has shown up again and found both Kalidor and Falcon, and they're all, the boys are back, guys. Yeah, the boys are back. In case you're wondering if this was a girl movie, the boys are back.
Kalidor is going up the stairs, Falcon is going down the stairs, and they square up like they're gonna fight, and then they're like, oh friend,
oh you.
What a funny situation we find ourselves in.
So again, just thinking of geography, like, so the butthole is in the back of the kingdom maybe, and is the throne room then stationed near the front door, and that's how Tarn got to the throne room like 15 minutes ago and these guys are still like making their way through.
I feel like those two got lost. They went down a lower butthole. They went down further. Whereas somehow Tarn, maybe from that main room, there is a direct access to the
front door, right?
Yeah. To the room.
Tarn. When you go through the Looney Tunes door in the foyer, there is a map printed on one of those light up plastic things that you see in a shopping mall. And so Tarn was be like, okay, so I go past the Banana Republic, take a left at the Bath and Body Works. Okay. That's
and to get out, I got to come back to the Dune butthole, sandworm butthole. Yeah. Okay. Cause he knows how to get back. We'll find that out in a few minutes.
He's got excellent recall when it comes to pathfinding. Like, good on him.
Yeah. Maybe he's our pathfinder on this. He has no other job. He's kind of our he's kind of our scout, sort of, not really. He's kind of our thief, kind of, not really. He doesn't really have a job. We don't really know what Tarn's job is. At the end, we almost get, I was worried Tarn was gonna die.
I mean, listen, it's important that he learned the idea of sacrifice in order to become a man. So What greater sacrifice than being crushed by rocks?
Yep. I'm going to go out the same way my friend Eichold went out. Crushed. Slowly.
Yeah.
So they meet up in the room of candles. The
million candles.
The Hanukkah room.
That's right. Where the sword fight breakdown picks right back up as Queen Gedrin is ready to continue attack. Queen Gedrin attacks Sonya as she's standing up because Sonya has to kind of roll her way underneath the gate. She does not have to reach in and grab her fedora before the gate closes because she doesn't wear a fedora. Gedrin attacks Sonya as she's standing up. Sonya parries these attacks and thrusts at Gedrin. Gedrin sidesteps the thrust and continues attacking. Sonya ducks a horizontal swing and Gedrin kills a few candles.
And during this fight, just like a true man, she's in the fight of her life, and out of nowhere, Kalidor's like, Sonya, over here, like trying to get her attention. It's like, I'm fucking busy.
Pay attention to me.
Look at me. I'm a man. I'm the man in the scene.
And he's locked out of the room and he gets so frustrated. And he looks around at his compatriots and he's like, fucking help.
I mean, I don't understand why Tarn just doesn't climb through one of the squares.
He would absolutely fit through one of these squares.
We're talking about the actual like lattice of the gate. He would fit through the hole. So anyway, Tarn goes in because Bluto and Kalidor open it for him.
He's the hero of the movie. Yeah. He's the star.
Death to all tyrants. And he does his move, the stomp once, kya, sword, swish.
So
and
cool.
And then he's promptly squished by a giant candle holder.
Yep.
So not cool.
Gosh.
All right. I'd like to talk about this set. It's pretty great.
Okay, I would say that I don't want to be a armchair quarterback, but I absolutely do. So I don't know why I'm lying.
You're a podcaster. What are you saying?
Falcon has his, bone club thing that happens to be perfectly shaped to wedge under a door and hold it open.
Sure.
Interesting.
Interesting that, he put it away in order to help lift the gate instead of using some leverage to get the gate open.
He's not, doesn't have more bones to just pull out of his shirt because sure he's got more.
I happen to have a bone just for this situation.
I'm surprised he didn't ask where his other bone was when he saw Tarn. Like, where did Tarn, what did Tarn do with that bone?
Tarn, you remember that bone I gave you and it was a really significant moment between us? Where is that now?
What do you mean you let it get crushed with Eichel? What do you mean? That was my favorite. That was my favorite bone.
Yes. Yeah. So Tarn, Falcon, and Kalidor's arrival, they distract. They see Sonya attacking
Gendry. They distract Sonya. You said it right the first time.
Over here, Sonya, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Sonya, Gendry, mommy.
Gendry's actually forced back along the far wall. Sonya and Gendryn clash, but neither makes any headway as they press each other back and forth across the room. Prince Tarn slips under the gate as the room begins to break apart. Gendryn is disarmed. Sonya hits her head on a rock, and Tarn is pinned beneath an obelisk candle holder.
Man, if this was the bad guy hitting their head, they'd be dead. Where's Sonya at? Like, clonks her head on the side of like a staircase. You always do in a movie when you're like, well, that guy's dead.
They could have, if they wanted to like tack another hour onto this movie, they could have done like a Red Sonja has amnesia. Like she gets up from hitting her head like, oh, who am I? Where am I? And then Queen Gendryn, you like, you're on my team. Go attack them. And then Tarn would be like, no, remember? You're my friend.
And Kalidor is like, fighter. No, remember Sonja. Sonja, remember, you're my girlfriend. Remember. And then he kisses her and he Superman kisses her into remembering as opposed to Superman kissing her into forgetting. I know Robin shaking his head at one of Superman's awesome powers.
I mean, we missed out on the other Superman power in the previous scene where Superman teleports himself all over the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, they did that already. DJ Wizzo teleported her all over the place.
I know we point fun at the idea that Tarn is distracting Sonya from this fight, but he actually does help a little bit because him shouting at Sonya makes her snap out of her hitting her head and being dazed.
Behind you.
Yeah, because Queen Gendryn is going to come and attack her while she's prone. And Tarn's like, Sonya, behind you.
And this set is awesome. They have cracked. Like, the set is cracked.
Yeah.
And these different pieces are like different levels now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. I'm always going to gush about the stupid, you know, props and sets on this thing. It's ridiculous. It's really nice compared to what we saw in, again, just bashing on Hawk the Slayer. Compared to what we saw in Hawk the Slayer, like just the laziest, rubber balls being thrown into a room along with a bunch of snow to make it imperceivable as a fight scene. This is a fight scene.
I will say the accoutrement of Gedrin's throne room, she really raided the boggy spooky forest closet get all those skeletons to shake around.
I have to go to Spirit Hyperion Spirit which took over for a Hyperion blockbuster that used to be there.
Could you imagine Hawk the Slayer doing anything as ambitious as splitting a set as part of like an earthquake? Because I can't.
Can you imagine the actor who played Hawk the Slayer yelling, Gendryn, where are you? As loud or even at any point showing any sort of emotion?
Gendryn, where are you?
I don't know what it is about Sonya hitting her head, but she stands up and starts attacking Gendryn, and Gendryn is completely on the back foot for the end of this fight.
It's almost like Gendryn doesn't know how to use a sword.
It's
well, this is the power of the ephemeral goddess within her.
Mm.
This is her true power. Her true power was a concussion the whole time.
I do love how these ladies in both their little sword fights here.
Hey, don't minimize sword by calling them both their little sword fights.
What the heck am I talking? Wow, I said it really sexist. Anyway, these dames.
Dames with their little sword fight.
They're wailing at each other.
Wailing. I mean,
they're heaving their swords like baseball bats. Like,
I would be worried that it was actually going to hurt somebody.
Sonya is literally like, I'm not saying like her eyes have rolled back, but she's got like doll's eyes. She is just like out for blood, baseball swinging. And Gendry isn't really doing anything. She's just holding her sword out in front of her, letting it get hit. Until it breaks in two.
Red Sonja has a concussion, so her eyes are so dilated right now.
Is this the first broken sword in Sword Boy's history? Like a broken...
All right.
I mean, besides Kurgan's sword, which comes broken.
Right.
To assemble it.
I'm trying to think now. Like,
we should just memorialize any sort of, main... So, I mean, this is a main sword because Connor left it by the door, so...
All right, I will put on Amazing Grace playing in the background as we say goodbye to this sword, played, of course, on bagpipes.
I mean, I hate to see a sword go, you know, I feel bad for it.
But it does go because it is broken by the hero sword, Red Sonja's sword, the famous sword known as Red Sonja's sword.
Yes. The Scarlet Saber.
It doesn't have a name.
Oh, wait, horse's name is Scarlet.
Yes, my name is Scarlet.
I hope we get a little time to spend with the horses before we leave, because I feel like horses are a huge, like, we're you know, our subtitle to our podcast is like, just like, you know, parentheses, really, Horse Boys.
Yeah, it's honestly, Sword Boys colon Horse Boys.
We have a literal sister podcast. We are the Sword Boys. They are the Horse Girls. And there's a lot of overlap between the two. We've just never actually released any sort of crossover content.
Like, and just like any girl,
so
could be
many episodes with the Horse Girls podcast.
Just like any girl can be a sword boy, any boy could be a horse girl. Yep. I mean, it's totally fine.
And yeah, the sword gets broken. And when it gets broken, Gedrin looks at her and she just stabs her right in the chest.
Yep. Straight through the heart.
There's no final anything. No last words. Her last word is, and she falls pretty slowly into lava. Yeah. Again, lava. And then this is where I wanted to talk. I was talking about it last cut, like kind of the problem with what's up with the talisman. The talisman seems to work based on light. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to get rid of it, she throws it into lava, which is light. I mean, isn't lava bright because it's hot? That's a great question. Is lava, when you're in lava and no one's there to see you, is lava bright?
Yeah, when you're underneath a sea of lava, is it
bright? Like molten everything I've ever seen in movies is bright.
Right. It gives off a glow.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe destroying the casing around the it's one ring rules. Okay. Like, we don't have I don't know who stands in for who as far as like obviously Sonja would be kind of a Frodo. I guess Prince Tarn is a bit of a Sam.
Sure.
And Gedrin is a Gollum. I don't know. I don't think it works out.
I don't think it works out. Now, this is our first feat of strength from Arnold Schwarzenegger. He says, Falcon, get her. Because she's stuck she can't get out from underneath the trellis.
Wait, so
he holds up the thing.
He says, Falcon, pull her through.
Pull her through. So this is our second time we're being reminded Arnold Schwarzenegger's character is extremely strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Falcon pulls her through.
Does the talisman's destruction feel a little anticlimactic?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I was like, wow, Osha is a bit more of trouble with this talisman. Like, what? Just like Sonya's powers. It's something that was built up in the beginning and then it's just
and only a woman can touch it. Okay. Well, a woman touched it, grabbed it, and chucked it into some lava. Okay.
Like, I kind of wish there was like a little bit of a temptation moment for Sonja.
Oh, where like maybe talks to her.
Oh,
Sonja, you should use me to make the world better. Man.
Yeah. And then we could get Arnold yelling, Sonja, destroy it. Throw it into the fire.
It's your head wound. It's making you weird. Remember who you are.
Or maybe like Tarn can give you, be like, let it go, Sonja.
Sonja,
let it go.
I can't believe Ramirez showed up.
I know. Wow. Spanish peacock. So they leave. And as they're leaving, we need to be reminded again that Arnold Schwarzenegger / Kalidor is strong. There is a beam.
This is ridiculous.
This is stupid. A beam. And he's holding it up by like, he's trying not to shit on it, I guess. It looks like he's like, eh! He holds
it's got
the
like
beam
a
up.
Handful of rocks on top of it. It's cracking. And after it falls,
they could have just
walked
through.
Is not blocked.
No, they could have just waited. for it to fall and then just walk through.
Yeah. I also love that he like just runs up to hold this broken beam that wasn't really moving at all. He's just like, oh, it's in perfect placement for me to get right under here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Tarn goes between his legs and he's just like, Sloth, come with me, Sloth. I love you. Go.
Yes. Eventually we find ourselves back at the Looney Tunes door. Another opportunity for Porky Pig to show up and be like, that's all, folks.
And
you're gonna die.
They're going through, they're gonna open up the butthole door, but
It's jammed.
There's
something caught in the door.
It's almost like there's something stuck inside the door. You know what it is? It's the handmaiden. Eichel just kind of lubed up the door.
But
the handmaiden really, she kind of jammed it up. It's constipated. The door, it now has some blockage. So luckily, Prince Tarn remembers the sword and you have to, you know, put it in the mouthpiece door opener thing. But of course, as he goes, another giant slab falls down. So now Tarn has sacrificed himself, you know, save yourselves, run for it.
Yeah.
And he's like,
run,
no,
Forest.
And this is our fourth time in this cut where they're like, we have to remind everybody that Arnold Schwarzenegger is very, this is like in his contract, like,
yeah,
like Vin Diesel not being able to ever lose a fight and The Rock not being able to lose a fight. They're like, at least four times in the movie, you have to show that Arnold Schwarzenegger is stronger than a normal man. Yeah. He lifts up this giant block. They pull Tarn through. Yay.
Sonya doesn't help.
Nope.
She already saved Tarn once.
And we already know that she is as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kind of feel like that's where they're going with this movie.
Yeah.
Is that she's been blessed with the strength of Kalidor. And as you do, when you put something in the bottom, when you throw a giant talisman into the bottom of a volcano, the tip top of your castle starts to blow up from top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So and then there's a giant volcano. You guys are convinced that it is a volcano, right?
Look at like, the scene at 12 minutes.
I'm just wondering, did the talisman turn the place into a volcano? Or
any mountain is a pre-volcano. It going into the volcano, I think it helped. You think there was no magma, no red hot magma?
Red hot magma.
Until
like that's the talisman was causing the instability in the kingdom, right? Is what Eichel was worried about,
right?
I'm sure, you know, I'm thinking that the lava was created by the talisman's power.
So the last 2 days, it's created this, not created lava, but it's broken the magma enough to that the lava has come up through the
ground. I mean, it is the talisman of creation.
Maybe it only creates volcanoes. We didn't actually ask it. No one talks to it. You notice?
Why is it called a talisman? Just saying.
Yeah, it should be called a talis woman.
It should be a talis woman.
It's only touched by women. So they all get out, get back on their horses. Robin, your prayers are answered. There's some good horse time here. Mm-hmm. There is Clompy, Scarlet. I'm going to go with Nugget and Pee-wee. Nugget and Pee-wee are the other two horses.
Add them to the shirt.
All right, hold on. We'll make a second shirt with Nugget and Pee-wee.
I do love when they all stay behind. They're almost like sacrificing their lives to save Tarn. But as soon as they get the Porky Pig door open, Tarn is the first one out the door.
I almost said that. Like last one out, but first one out. He runs like a motherfucker. And Red Sonja's next, then followed by Kalidor and Falcon.
I'm just glad that none of them slip, like step in a crushed spleen or something like that, and then they lose their footing.
Oh no, I got Eichel over my feet. They are gone. They get their horses. They're now draped back in their winter clothes again.
Mm-hmm. They're traveling finery.
Oh yeah, this is the end of the movie. We know it. This is when the wizards are in the West are gathering.
The wizards are gathering in the South.
Everyone turn profile and talk about what happens in the next movie.
Oh my gosh, if the Whisper Witch had shown up in this movie.
Oh my, like her head just kind of comes up into this scene.
Like seriously, yeah. Just like just cutting in from the side. Like, I don't know. Like, what are you doing here, Patricia Quinn? Get out.
I'm surprised we didn't get a, because we got a crawl. I'm surprised we didn't get a voiceover at the end of Red Sonja. I don't know why it's the same guy from Conan. I don't know why he's the guy. In my mind, that's Eddie Reyes Jr. as an older man. That's who he turns into. Prince Tarn turns into, what was his name in Conan the Destroyer?
No clue. We have
the old, the old Asian American man. What is his name?
Hold on.
Hold on. Mako.
It's a hero.
Mako. Yeah, Kira.
Mako. Yeah, the actor is Mako.
Right. Mako's the actor. That's what I'm saying. He's great. Some of you youngsters may know him as the uncle from Last Airbender.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer. Yeah. But anyway, he's the voice, inexplicably, he's the voiceover at the end of Red Sonja. They've hired enough people from Red Sonja. It's like, so Red Sonja, having gotten rid of the talisman.
I found his character's name in Conan the Barbarian. He's known as the Wizard.
Yeah, Akira the Wizard. The Wizard.
Yeah, they name him in the second one.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like, what would the rest of that narration be, Jonathan? And so, having destroyed the talisman, she went to Bone Town with Calidore.
Their two friends left for their to go back to their place, and Calidore and Red Sonja fucked on this mountain in the middle of nowhere where it's really cold, and the horses watched, and that's the end. But that's a story for another time. I'd watch that movie. Oh, there's gonna be horse fucking? No. Clompy, you're not having sex. I get a sex scene? No, Clompy. They're having a sex scene.
You're looking good.
I am not into you. You are not a gentleman. Oh, hell no. Thank you.
Okay, so for actual dialogue, Sonja points the way to Havelock. And Prince
Which Tarn's is just like, hey, there's the ruins of your kingdom.
That's like, we're going to rebuild. I'm going to need a queen someday. And Sonya's like, yeah, somebody else.
I don't know. If Tarn like dropped a great line on her, she might have remembered him like maybe 10 years later, like, are you an angel? Like if he said, are you an angel? You know,
Robin,
maybe he,
after her head trauma, she's not going to be remembering anything from the past 2 days.
I wasn't sure if you were making a Phantom Menace reference or making a reference to like Big.
Yeah, is she Big gonna fuck a child, or is she Phantom Menace going to be wooed by a child? Which is,
yeah,
are you an angel, Red Sonja?
So Calidore inserts himself into this conversation, and he says, whoever she is, Prince, choose carefully. I make a rule never to take a woman unless she can beat me in a fair fight. That's a recent development for him.
In other words, I'm a virgin. I've been saving myself for this woman.
Yeah, I like how he throws back Sonya's thing to kind of like say, hey, you know what? We're pretty evenly matched, and I wanna get down with you. You obviously want to get down with me. Let's make this happen.
And Calidore's royalty, because he's the family that was supposed to go and destroy the talisman.
He is a prince in this universe.
Yes,
here he is,
born to be king. I feel like Tarn and Falcon in the scene would be played by U2, because neither of them are interested.
The
in
band
U2 Calidore.
Would play them.
Yeah. Like I'm all for Sonja and Calidore getting together. And you guys, as discussed in an earlier cut, have no interest in it. So you would totally just get on your horses and ride away.
I'm glad you said the word disgust, because my note is just like, gross. Keep fighting, guys. Stop.
I kind of wanted them to have like a grunt fight, like kind of like a kissing, like, you know, I don't know, something more clever than what happens. He's just like, let's have a fight now. And they're like, oh, Calidore and Red Sonja. Oh, no. I also thought, I really thought when they were about to hit each other that we would get a Rocky three ending, like freeze frame of their swords coming together.
Okay. Bridget Nielsen and Arnold Schwarzenegger were told to freeze frame. The horses did not listen.
Oh, God damn it. We fucked up the whole thing.
An amazing comic beat that ends this movie as the credits roll, because they're doing the freeze kiss and then Klompy just kind of looks over at Scarlett and is just like, so
are we, they're like the handmaidens of the scene. Are we in this? Should we not be in this?
Yes.
Can we horse kiss?
Imagine that's the way you leave your compatriots after a long quest. You're just like, all right, we don't really care about Falcon and Prince anymore. You guys can leave. We're gonna smooch and probably bone down. You should probably let the kid, unless the kid wants to learn some moves, you should probably leave. Wow. And then Klompy's like, oh my god, you guys start with that? Whoa. Yeah, they are definitely doing the freeze kiss. And the horses are still standing. Look, and the credits are rolling.
Klompy can't help himself. He's like, all right, this is my scene now. I'm the center of the action.
I'm the center of the universe. and the movie ends.
Yep. So as far as end credits are concerned, special shout out to the armorer for this film.
Armorer.
Giuseppe Cancellara.
Yep. I mean, there are a lot of Giuseppe. Cinematography was by Giuseppe, too. I would like to shout out, because I had to go and look this up on the, there's so many uncredited people in this movie. The art department alone, like the creature sculptor, the chief plasterer, the model maker, they're all uncredited. And so I was like, and half of the special effects people are uncredited.
Which is a travesty.
It is. This movie looks great. The effects are fine. Nothing is glaringly bad. I would say, is there an effect in this movie that made you laugh? Like how cheesy it was? I don't think so. I just went, okay, it's 1980, whatever. It's fine.
The shaky golden skeletons. I think those are probably
that's just a physics thing. That's less of a, I meant like effects like the volcano at the end and, you know, the palace exploding. Nothing was really that bad.
Some good explosions. The falling into the lava is a little blue screeny, but.
The matte paintings looked good of the, under the taint, Clan Gooch, under Clan Gooch, like that, like those matte paintings were really nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the goofiest thing that I saw in this movie was probably the magic mirror that was, like Robin said, doing the Jefferson Starship Christmas special thing.
Or like Xanadu level. There's just going to be this thing in the middle of the movie. Like, okay.
I also want to give a special shout out to Kiyoshi Yamazaki, who played Kyobo, the guy that Sonya beat to graduate from sword school.
The sword master.
He was also in charge of martial arts for this movie, but you'll notice that Ernie Reyes Sr., he got a paycheck for this movie as the martial arts consultant.
Nice. Dad,
I'm just going to go Kia, and I'm going to stamp my foot forward, and then I'm going to go. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I just picture it as Kiyoshi Yamazaki trying to do his job on set, and Ernie Reyes Sr. is like, I don't think I'd do it like that.
I'm the parent of a Hollywood child actor.
That's all he would contribute.
Yeah.
All I got to say is, I've spent some time talking Karate Kid on my other podcasts, and I'm probably going to have some more time spent talking about Karate Kid coming up. But, I do appreciate a little bit of martial arts, a little bit of ayahs in this movie as a surprise. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Ernie Reyes Jr.
What an interesting country he must come from, where a guy like Falcon has no accent. Ernie Reyes has no accent, yet they have Asian influence. Mm-hmm. And then Kalidor is from wherever the hell he's from. And then Red Sonja also from somewhere weird.
Yeah.
The Hyperion Age, what a lovely melting pot of people.
Yeah. It's infinite variety and infinite combination, just like Star Trek.
Yep. I can't wait for us to do, and this will definitely be a Patreon. We'll do, are we doing Conan the Destroyer as a Patreon, or is that going to be a regular?
Ooh.
Are we doing Conan the Barbarian? Are we doing Barbarian first and then we're doing Destroyer?
We have not slated those yet. We like they've been on the list since the inception of the list, but we have not. Yeah.
And they're also one of the ones where you're like, this is obviously we should do this, but we kind of got, we've kind of veered into a bunch of different stuff, but we'll come back to the classics. Maybe that'll be a summer thing of 2024, a Conan summer. We'll do the one and two.
Conan summer. Aw.
It's just body oil, just baby oil summer, baby oil, June and July. I might, who knows?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys. It's going to be another one of like, oh, this is a legit good movie.
I want to ask you guys, does this movie get your sword?
Oh, 100%. 100% this movie gets my sword.
I think I also agree. To it. Having never seen it, it gets my sword. It's all the things we talked about last cut is the reason why I think I liked it the most. It is light. It is not taking itself seriously. Is it plot-wise light? Of course. It's a Italian run, you know, weird movie about, you know, a sword lady, a horse gal running around. I love it for that kind of like cheesiness of it. There's nothing, I wouldn't say any of the fights. It's not like it doesn't have the Conan, the thing that of course they were going for. It doesn't have that, but I also don't mind it. It's as good as Destroyer. And Destroyer, I think, has a better script.
Hmm.
I say better. Better is the wrong word. It has a script. I feel like this movie was 5 pages of dialogue that they wanted to do.
Okay. Comparing this movie against the movies we've already watched for the podcast, I would put this above Hawk the Slayer on par with Beastmaster underneath Highlander.
It's below Beastmaster just for just because of my memories of it, but... I mean, see, if I had not had the childhood that I had with Beastmaster, watching these two movies together, I would agree. It has that same level of, they just kind of wave their hands at a lot of stuff and kind of like, you don't need to know who the Bog Witches are. The Butter Witches. Like, we don't need to explain who they are. They're just witches. They were just here. Yeah, you know, this movie does the same thing. It's just like, there's a handmaiden and there's Eichel and they don't, and there's also a wizard and we're not going to explain him. So
I got to say that this movie falls under Beastmaster for me as well. And it is really like acting and script level. Like there's things in Red Sonja that are set up that are just not paid off or they just kind of brush away. Whereas I think everything in Beastmaster pays off. And also there's so much weirdness in Beastmaster that, you know, just keeps you entertained.
Yeah.
They say at the beginning, there is a child who will be born, who will kill Zed and bring everybody to peace and whatever. That happens. In this movie, a weird fart ghost gives Red Sonja powers, but there's no explaining of the power other than that she's now the equal of men, which is kind of a horrible thing. You know, there's no bone. There's no bones to the story. There's tons of bones in this movie has more bones than any other movie.
Falcon has bone.
Yeah, they're boning right now.
Honestly, I was just really glad that we got a more consistent spread of sword fights over the course of the movie after going through such a sword fight desert.
We had four cuts of Hawk the Slayer out of 6 did not have a sword fight.
Which is bonkers to me that they would have a story built around a sword.
I think it's also the time.
Arguably the main character.
Think of it as the time the movie was made.
Yeah.
When this movie was made, it was 1985. We are deep within sword movie tropism, like time. 1980.
Welcome to sword country.
1980, 1979. Like we're at the beginning, of them being good. There are lots of sword movies, but I think in the 80s is when they're like, you know, they don't have to all be terrible. We could actually make it kind of fun. And I mean, look at, it's not a sword movie. It has swords in it, but it's not Big Trouble in Little China. That movie is weird as shit. And there's a lot of weird stuff and it has the same, you know, it's fast, but they have a great lead. They have great people that play off them. I think that's the problem this movie has is that you brought in Conan. You brought in all these different actors who are good, they're not great.
Yeah.
And Red Sonja, it's not her fault. She's in her first role, but is she the greatest lead actress? No.
Brigitte Nielsen is not Christoph Lambert.
She's also not the female Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the way he acted and his stunted acting at first. He's a charisma bomb. He comes in there and you're like, hell yeah, I love this guy.
Yeah.
For sure. Has whatever it is. So I'll be excited when we actually talk about his movie because we can go into depth on him a little bit more as a person.
Yeah. But despite any criticisms I have of this movie, I do love all of the swings that it takes. Does it hit all of those swings? Arguably not, but I just love that they do it. So,
yep. And I want the Ming the Merciless style. I want the Flash Gordon, the style of the clothes. That's a movie that brings it back for me because I just have a soft spot in my heart for that kind of junk. That's my junk.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk about my junk, guys, but let's talk about my junk.
No, do go on.
My junk is weird Italian space fantasy.
Yeah.
What's your junk?
Well, Robin, why don't you tell us a little bit about the next movie that we're going to watch in the rotation?
Yeah, because that's your junk.
Jonathan's.
That's your junk.
You know, I think it's time for us to have a little bit of a change. We've been wandering through forests and deserts. We've been just, dealing with barbarians and the like. I think we should go to a more of a modern era. No, we're not going to go to the 80s like Highlander, but we're going to go to more of the, I don't know, what era is this?
What era is it? Is this the 1500s also?
The
French Revolution, whenever that was,
right around then, it's like the 1780s or something. Anyway, I also want some real, if not great actors, memorable actors, fun actors, from what I remember, just a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've seen this movie. It's made by Disney. It's called The Three Musketeers.
Hell yeah. Just so you know, 1625 to 1628 is when they're saying this.
Oh.
Because remember, there is an actual king of France. So
yeah, we're talking about King Louis the 13th.
We could have looked that up, I guess, but we didn't.
Cardinal Richelieu.
I haven't done my Three Musketeers research yet. So
I'm excited too. When you said you wanted to do this, I was like, holy shit, yes, this is the best. I want American actors portraying French people, not trying to do the accents. This is one of those movies where the boot of Disney is just put on the movie. Just like, we're making this movie. We're making it with the hottest people, the biggest stars of this era.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're going to stunt cast all the villains. Oh, it's so good. Let's name some of the people in.
All right. You got Kiefer Sutherland.
He was hot.
You got Oliver Platt.
When he was
hot. He was
really
hot.
Ballooned out. You got Charlie Sheen, Tiger Blood himself.
Yep.
Chris O'Donnell,
who's always been hot.
Robin. Yes. Yeah.
Robin himself.
Yeah. And then for bad guys, you got Tim motherfucking Curry.
Hell yeah.
As Cardinal Richelieu.
The best Cardinal Richelieu we ever had, I would say.
And his sidekick. Classic 90s movie sidekick, Michael Wincott, as Rochefort.
Forgot about him.
Basically doing the same thing he did in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, but French.
They just gave him an eye patch.
Yeah.
I will say for the ladies, we have Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
Hottie that rocked the cradle. And also we have Gabrielle Anwar.
Yep.
And is the queen.
One of her first roles? I would have to look that up. I don't even know. She's young in that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up right now on camera.
Yeah. Her first American film was the Richard Grieco movie, If Looks Could Kill.
Yep. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Cause she's in, she's in Sin of a Woman. And a couple of, so yeah. The,
yeah.
If looks, yeah. For Love and Money.
Oh yeah.
Money.
Sin of a Woman is her most.
So she was big at this point. She'd done, For Love or Money, Body Snatchers. Three Musketeers. So yeah.
And of course, and I want to mention also Julie Delpy, who yep. is in this as well, for the Before trilogy.
Oh yeah, because she's the girlfriend of D'Artagnan, right? She's the mm-hmm. one that ends up with D'Artagnan,
yeah.
isn't she?
Yep.
They got that meet cute where he attacks a couple of cops.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Anderson returns. We haven't seen him since the beginning of Highlander when he got when Connor McLeod tossed a trench coat at him or his pants or something.
Now, what is he in this?
Well, he's uncredited, but he is the King's fencing instructor. But I'm sure he did some work behind the scenes as well.
That's why they take off his pants in that scene. I was always wondering why he threw his pants at him.
he's got the fencing tights underneath. He's much more comfortable that way.
This one is
mystery solved.
For those of you that are true sword boys, and I hope that if you're listening, you are. This one has the most sword close-ups, like actually showing the sword. These amazing swords. We get these like gilded, like really just incredibly elaborate. I can't wait to talk about them. Swords. I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also want to mention, they took a cue from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and was just like, we need a big song, and we need to bring in Bryan Adams to do the song All for Love. And it's great because he does it with is a little bit of a Three Musketeers thing happens here. Bryan Adams, Sting, and Rod Stewart all work together on the big song from this movie. And ooh. Really, I think by the end of the season, I'd like to determine who is who, like of us, who is Rod, who is Sting, and who is Bryan. I'd love the listeners to tell us.
I would also like to know which one of us is Aramis, Athos, Porthos,
right, or D'Artagnan. That's the one I was expecting to hear.
I wasn't expecting to see who was Sting.
Not interested. I know people are going to be like, oh yeah, Robin's definitely Oliver Platt. Come on.
I mean, I like to have sex while horses watch me, so I must be Sting, right? this is also, since the first movie, this is the first time we're getting back to the rapier, Damascus steel type sword, like a more of a pointy boy, yeah. mm-hmm. less of a slashy boy. Because we've been on slashy boys for a while. So I'm excited to get back in here.
Yeah. So join us.
Do that up.
Because next time, from the plains of the Hyborian Age to the stately palaces of the 1620s France, where the devious Cardinal Richelieu is plotting to seize power for himself by undermining King Louis XIII, a young swordman by the name of D'Artagnan leaves his pastoral village to join the King's Musketeers. Unbeknownst to him, at that very moment, the Cardinal's lapdog, Captain Rochefort, is disbanding the elite force. The elite force.
Did you say Crapton?
You said Crapton.
All right.
And Rochefort?
Let me say that part again.
Crapton Rochefort?
The Cardinal's lapdog, Captain Rochefort, is disbanding the elite force. After encountering hijinks on the road to Paris, D'Artagnan runs afoul of Athos and Porthos, two musketeers of renown, challenges them each to a duel later that day. Sacre bleu! Does no one have a French accent in this movie? Find out in cut one of The Three Musketeers.
It's like, you're like Red Sonja reading lines, man. You do not speak this language.
Okay. In my defense, I wrote this 2 weeks ago.
Crapton Rochefort. I can't wait to meet this guy.
Crapton Rochefort!
Well, this was fun. See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Clang, clang!
Clang, clang!
Now, freeze frame. I'm going to keep walking around. God damn it.
Hey, Scarlet, you got some oats over there?
I do. I have oats over here, but you're not having any of my oats.
Oh, I'd love to sow them.
You want to sow my oats? Oh, you're so cheeky. I will only be conquered by the horse that can conquer me. I'm going to conquer you so good. Freeze frame. I just give up trying to find the red. They're trouble.